Wojtek. That's how you pronounce my name. I don't know what these letters are, but that's the phonetic pronunciation. I'm a 3D generalist and a 3D printing enthusiast, and I'm a free Libre open source software user, mainly GIMP and Blender. Okay. Oh, by the way, my backups file storage is by Autodesk. Long live soft image. For the ones who understand the pun, he's dead. So what is 3D printing? What exactly is 3D printing? I will just try and build on what Matteo just presented a minute ago. So it will be more like a base for what he was presenting. 3D printing is an additive method of manufacturing. So you build layer on layer, basically. This allows to have any complex structures built with no... It's much easier to have complexity. It's cheaper to have complexity using using 3D printing rather than normal traditional manufacturing. Okay, so I have a short video showing how 3D printing works. Well, Matteo had a much better video, so you know. So the types of machines, I will focus in this presentation, I will focus on open source machines, so the FDM ones mainly. That's fused deposition modeling. So for example, Ultimaker. These ones are the most popular in the open source kind of community, maker community. Then we have the SLA. So these ones are the second one coming soon, probably. The second cheapest ones. So that's stereolithography. This is the second one. This one, they don't deposit plastic, more like they solidify a resin using ultraviolet light. Because the traditional, the one we use, FDM, which are the most popular with us, they just deposit melted plastic layer by layer. Plastic, or it could do chocolate or metal. If you have, let's say, metal that solidifies fast enough. And the SLS, the final one, this is, these are the most expensive, kind of the majority of the current SLS printers. This is the laser sintering, selective laser sintering printers. They are very expensive, kind of industry grade, and they cost tens of thousands of euros at least, up to hundreds of thousands. The metal solid sintering printers, they are really expensive. You can print jewelry with. So I won't really talk about them, and there are not many. There is one project I heard in Texas that because the patents are expiring, so they are developing an open source one, but I don't see that coming to our houses anytime soon, since it's very dangerous. They use a very high power lasers, and you don't want to have that at home. Jetting, by the way, jetting is another type of technology, 3D printing technology, that's just being developed, and it's not really mainstream yet, so I won't focus on that. It's just being okay. So a very short history. The first patent was by Chuck Hull in 1984. It was the stereolithography patent. He's now the owns the 3D systems. So that patent is the main patent. It's expiring, and there, I mean, we might see some more arrivals in 3D printing this year, actually. Okay, so the applications, probably medicine is the main application for 3D printing, the longest one. Over 10 years, it's been in use, especially in dentistry, for example, and replacement. Very recently, there are very many reconstruction surgeries done with that. Aerospace industry, you can see some parts in some jet engines or are 3D printed, but it's not widely used. Especially because it's not very cheap, and it's on for very small parts and vital parts. product design for prototyping, for example, whether you want to, if you want to develop quickly within a day, you have a concept design, you can design it, you can have it done within a couple hours, for example, of a case, something, and art. Art, which is probably with us, enthusiasts, is probably the most prevalent use of 3D printing. It's just printing small trinkets and like keychains. Like you can see here, some of the stuff I printed. And let me just say, what's the difference between 3D printing and additive manufacturing? Because Vital is the same thing, but it so happened that 3D printing is being used more as a kind of customer 3D printing. It's the printing with the low-end kind of printers, which we could have at home. And additive manufacturing is the industry 3D printing, which has been used for a very long time, for 20 years and so, in the manufacturing industry. Okay, so this is called Gartner's hype cycle curve, and this is where we are currently with consumer 3D printing, on the top. So we are at the peak of inflated expectations now, people say, because there are a lot of expectations with 3D printing, and people don't believe in 3D printing. Some people are just the naysayers. There's lots of people that just dismiss it straight away. Let's say it's just is that you cannot print everything, which is partially true, but the technology is being developed so fast that there is a lot of possibilities with that, and it's only up to us what's going to happen. In the enterprise 3D printing, which is the industry one, is actually in the slope of enlightenment. So people just start realizing now what are the possibilities in 3D printing, especially medicine and product design, designing for industry. You can have lighter parts, stronger parts, and more durable parts, and at the same time, you can have better designs, which are save materials. Okay, so pros and cons. Most of them already said already. So I'm just going to repeat quickly. So technology is improving. We'll see rise in possibilities and new arrivals, especially materials, and the resolutions are going to increase. The printers that are coming out are cheaper and cheaper. It's waste free. The PLA polymer is biodegradable. So it's even their materials are food safe. And obviously it's a subtractive, it's not subtractive, it's additive method of manufacturing, so you don't waste any materials. It's faster than molds if you want to develop quickly, prototype something. It's for low amount of manufacturing. If you want to manufacture a couple products as well, it's very good, because you don't spend thousands of going through the whole process and make something in China. You have the freedom of creation, and complexity is like, it's cheap, like I said. It's and it's great community, of course. There is a very good community around 3D printing, especially in Blender. And in major cities, you have hackerspaces, and lots of people just use Blender. And the cons, as currently, the speed and resolution can be unsatisfactory, especially with the lower-end printers, the ones that are more affordable ones you can get for a couple hundred euros. Limited number of materials, and it's always going to stay this way. There's some materials that you won't be able to print simply because of the properties. The labor is expensive, and education, and it takes quite some time to learn 3D printing for now, because the software is just not ready for entry-level kind of users, for customers, for everyday person that wants to design. Legal implications, that's one thing that's worth mentioning. For example, what if you design a toy and you give it to someone, you sell it to someone, and who is going to be responsible if something happens to the child that uses this toy? For example, if it's dangerous, are you going to be responsible for designing the toy, or the person that manufactures it on their own printer, or the printer manufacturer? So it's not clear yet. And like I said, it's not for everyone, requires patience. Yeah, these are some of my broken prints. There is some like Christmas ornaments you can see there, dead. So open source FDM 3D printers. So like I said, the open source is at the heart of 3D printing. Open source 3D printing. That's how it started. The customer kind of 3D printing. It started in 2008 during the RepRap project. It was started by makers, but people who want to create their own machines that can replicate themselves. So now you have many splinters of that technology. So with the RepRap family has grown immensely. There's many different deltas, Mendel. There's many machines that are there available. You can build yourself. You can download the files, and 25, 30, 40% of the printer you can print yourself, and then you just need to buy the mechanical parts, which are not printable yet. The Lausbot TAS, that's quite popular. The PrinterBot, which is the one I own, Ultimaker, that's the most popular probably in Europe. Okay. So just a quick mention for the PG 3D printer. It's a Canadian 3D printer developed by some Blender geeks. It's very closely related to Blender to use, because there is a script actually in Blender that exports your design as WAV files, and it uses microphone to actually control the 3D printer through the microphone port. So it's really unorthodox solution. It's really, really funny. Okay. So the pipeline. So the most open source 3D printers, what do people use, especially for open source like the one I own, for example. So you can use Blender or any other software. You don't even need Blender. You can just download the files if you don't want to design, which then you need to slice the slice into like flat planes your model, with which then these are instructions for the printer how to print the object. Like it gives instructions to the extruder on how to move them, the motors, and then deposit the plastic. So this is the 3D printing pipeline. So like I said, you design the object, you slice the object, which produces the G-code, this is the slices. And then you need to set up some settings, obviously, for in Slicer, which is the slicing application, in order to some designs they require different settings, basically, because some items you cannot print using the default settings, so to say. And Repetier is just the last step. It's used to just initialize 3D printing and control your 3D printer. You don't need to use it. You can just use a SD card in many of the printers. So Blender design workflow tips. There's just a couple things you need to keep in mind. These are applied to all of the things you would design ever in Blender too. So the first thing, the mesh has to be manifold, which means cannot have any holes. So if you want to, for example, I'll just quickly show you what you couldn't print. For example, if you had an UV sphere, just a sphere, and you had a hole in the sphere, so you would need to fill in the hole in order to be able to 3D print this object, because you cannot have these thin surfaces. Okay, and five. Overhangs. So, for example, if you are 3D printing something, and let's say this one, you wouldn't be able to 3D print some of the, for example, this inside, there is nothing that would hold up this ceiling of that helmet. So then you wouldn't be able to 3D print it so easily. In this case, it could be maybe possible at a good resolution because the walls would hold it. But for example, if you wanted to create some like horns, for example, coming off here, or something like that, and then you wouldn't be able to 3D print that. It's just not physically possible because nothing to support that. So you need to keep that in mind. And the slicing software can actually generate that support in many cases. So if for some projects you don't need to worry about it. So the right scale for you need to use the right scale while designing in Blender, because it's the first thing that when I design something in Blender. Let me come back. The object was so tiny I wouldn't even see that in Repetier. So the 10 Blender units is only 1 centimeter. It's like huge. In Blender is the whole grid in the default settings. Okay, spoke about the wall thickness. Wall thickness cannot be, if your model cannot be too thin, because you wouldn't be able to print out some of the parts. If the wall thickness is thinner than twice the extrusion hole of your 3D printer. Model's orientation is important, that you orient your model so it can be printed. So the thickest parts at the bottom. So for example, some elements you would print upside down. Actually the origin in Blender is not important. Where is the origin of the object? It's just important that the object stands on the on the grid, and it's flat on the grid. If it's just off the grid, just a tiny bit, a tiny, teeny, tiny bit, this will be enough. Your printer will start depositing here in the air, so basically it won't stick, and it will just, it's not not very good. You might not be able to notice the distance can be too small to actually be seen. And some of these things, the things can be checked using a 3D print toolkit add-on, which actually checks for these properties of your model, whether they are met or not. So retopologizing, you have a very dense mesh, you have to use some of the Blender decimate and remesh or trees to quad some of the functions. If the mesh is very dense, it's very possible that the slicing will take ages, will take way too long, or might even crash. And 3D scans are not manifold, so like they have holes. You have to remember to fix it, which is probably the most tiresome process. Okay, so like I said, the communities were really great. There's hacker spaces, and there is even like a social network for 3D printer owners, which is pretty much everywhere around the world. Okay, thank you very much for listening. And if there are any questions, I can pass it on. These are some quick references where you can download some of the source files for printers, or you can search them on Google. They are they're widely available. They're open source. Okay?
Questions?
You can ask me afterwards on the party if someone wants to speak about 3D printing. I am happy to speak about it. It's really passionate. So I'll be on the party afterwards.
How toxic are the materials you can print right now?
How toxic?
Yes, because...
How toxic? So the most popular material I use, for example, with FDM 3D printers is PLA. So PLA is cornstarch. It's made of cornstarch. So it's totally natural. It's biodegradable. You can throw it out and it will just degrade. I mean, over time it will just... come back to nature, so to say. I mean, it might have some additives. Some of the materials, they have really bad additives. So you cannot, for example, you cannot eat from it. But then you have to consult, you have to see what material you buy. There's like endless amounts of these materials. And then there's ABS, which is like the other type of plastic. So it is a bit more, it's a proper plastic, so to say. It's not really food safe or anything like that. But it's not really toxic per se. It's, well, you have to use your 3D printer in a space which has you have window open, for example. I mean, it's not safe to use it at your at home, for example, you know, in your bedroom. No, you know, I wouldn't suggest that, because it there are some fumes from the melted plastic, especially the more.
Okay, thank you. Another question: how strong is the metal you can print? So how hard is it?
So that depends. There's many different alloys you can use with the SLS 3D printer. I've never actually myself used a 3D SLS 3D printer, but that all depends on the material again. So you have titanium, is widely used. It's very strong, and it's actually used in the aerospace industry for the engines, because the design cannot be manufactured, first of all, plus the material is stronger. So that depends on the material you use. I bet the jewelry that's produced using 3D printing on like shapeways, I bet it's not stronger than if you had it melted actual and made it, you know, proper way.
Okay, yeah? Thank you.
Okay. And there's a session tomorrow. If anyone is wants to go, it's quite far away. It's like 10-15 minutes by bus. There will be a session at the local hackerspace. There will be some guys there, and there will be 3D printing. Okay. You can speak about it with me tomorrow or later on.
Thank you very much, man.
Okay, that's all done.
Thank you. Any questions?